Today on Real Radio.
And the angel says, Daniel, the day you began to pray, the day that you began to fast, your prayer was heard. That's encouraging.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series called Why Should I? A collection of scriptural studies that takes a look at what the Bible says about lifestyle choices for the believer. Now, the practice of fasting is mentioned in both the Old and the New Testaments. So, quite obviously, Christians and Jews can be found engaging in this temporary abstinence from eating. But, you know, these days, a lot of folks seem to fast without really fully understanding its purpose. And that's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs talks about today in this lesson called Why Should I Fast?
Matthew 6:3 goes on to say, but when, that's a question of action or statement of action, but when you do your charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, so that your Father who sees you in secret will himself reward you openly or bless you before people. Verse 16, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. This is almost funny. When they were fasting, they would literally put ash underneath the cheeks or above the cheeks of their faces, underneath the eye, and in their fasting, they would well up some tears, and the ashes would run with the tears, and they'd walk around like this, you know? What's the matter? I'm fasting unto God. And they would be all like, oh, why do people think like this? Because you know what, I'm making such a great sacrifice. You know, and me and God are so tight. He's been speaking to me, and oh, look at my face. God told Jeremiah, I'm not in that. Everybody walks around, oh, the burden of the Lord, the burden of the Lord. God says, I never gave them a burden. I never told them to be burdened. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So man, when you're fasting about an issue, we'll get to those things, why you should fast. The truth of the matter is, Jesus will tell you, he says it here. Don't disfigure your face like them when they fast. He said they've had their reward. Verse 17, but when you fast, that is the church, that's us, anoint your head, that is comb your hair. Can you imagine those guys? They got their hair all whacked out. Jesus says, oh, don't be like those guys. Comb your hair. Comb your hair. Wash your face. Get the ashes off your face. So that you do not appear before men to be fasting, but your Father who is in a secret place, in the secret place, and your Father sees you in that secret place, will reward you openly. People should not be able to tell if you're fasting. Philippians 3, verse 9 and 10. Philippians 3, 9 and 10. Paul says that we may be found in him, not having our own righteousness. You see, the legalist and the self-righteous person will go about fasting to establish their own righteousness in manipulation of God. No, he says, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed unto his death, that we might know him more. And under that point, we want to look at several things this morning regarding this thing of fasting. Fasting. First of all, jot it down. Number one thing is this regarding fasting. It is this, and we're all interested in it, that is so we can hear better. We want to be able to hear God better. You say, Jack, are you kidding me? Fasting, emptying out my stomach allows me to hear God better? Well, if you put it that way, okay, yeah, it does. But it's not chemistry or biology. When we fast, There's a supernatural act by God. And this is why I think it is so attractive to those who fast. When you fast, there is some sort of an interesting separation. And you're going to be hearing this word a lot as I go through this topic. There's a separation that when we fast unto God, we hear him better. And let me add this. It's not only a fasting in our culture from food, but I think a great thing is a fasting from the busyness of life. Now, don't get me wrong. We can fast and be busy. And maybe we'll have to do it that way. But we can fast, and we can also fast in the areas of what we hear, in the areas of what we do. We can even, in our physical fast, abstaining from food or altering our food intake or whatever the type of fast might be. We can also determine, you know what, I'm not going to be watching any news or any documentaries or any sitcoms or any what. For the next 3 days, I'm going to divorce myself from the world. I'm going to seek God. You can do that as well in your fast. Now, that would be a sacrifice in our culture because we are such information nuts, and I'm probably the chief information nut on those kinds of things. But fasting will result in this, that we can hear better from God. We'll hear him speak more clearly. And I don't need to see a show of hands, but how many of us would love to hear God more clearly? Well, man, all of our hands would go up. That's me. I want to hear him more clearly. But we're not willing to practice this discipline, and we need to get into it. We need to do it. And we'll talk about that as we go into this. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Now it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went up into a mountain to pray, and he continued all night there in prayer. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12 of them, and he named them his apostles. See, what does that have to do with fasting? Did you hear it? Even though you didn't hear the word, did you see it? He went up onto a mountain and prayed alone, by the way. All night he prayed, and that clearly indicates that he did not eat. He was focused, Jesus was, upon hearing from his Father. And what did his Father say to him? I want you to call out these apostles out of the crowd. That's an important thing. See, man, I want to hear God like that. Great, then let's be a church that fasts. Let's be a church that prays like that. Now, don't get overwhelmed. You're thinking, man, how long do I got to fast? And what do I do? We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. And by the way, we'll also talk about, and I should probably have a doctor speak on this when we come to that, and that is some of you can't fast. Did you know that? You have physical reasons why you cannot. Some of you, I am wired really weird personally. I can go days, I can go well into 7 days myself personally without eating. And I'm not saying that just because of a fast. I have a weird metabolism. But some of you will get, some of you have blood sugar problems. You could never do that. God has got a fast for you as well. So don't be discouraged. We're all wired different and nobody's wired better than the other guy. It's God's way and you need to know your body when it comes to this. Number two, jot this down if you would. Not only fasting that we can hear better, but fasting so we can understand more. So that we can understand more. Fasting definitely clears up the spiritual information highway, we can put it, in the areas and issues of understanding. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then he continued, as the angel spoke, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. Listen to that. And I have come now in response to them. The angel was dispatched from God, from heaven, to speak to Daniel. And we'll see in a moment how long that fast of his was. But what was Daniel's pursuit? Our pursuit. God, I want to understand more. Lord, I'm going to fast. I'm going to seek your face. And you'll never understand New Testament prophetic teachings without mastering the book of Daniel. 21 days Daniel fasted. And by the way, it was a what we would call a partial fast. He ate, but he ate water and he ate drank water and he ate vegetables, and he would not eat the king, that is Nebuchadnezzar's, meats, and he wouldn't eat his pastries. He had vegetables and water. He changed his normal diet and he consumed this altered diet for 21 days seeking God. You can fast like that. Maybe some of you every morning get up and you have your Krispy Kreme donut. And you say, well, you know what? I'm not going to do that for this week. I'm going to divorce myself from that pleasure. And during that, the time that it would take for me to drive there and to eat it and to thank God for it, I'm going to pray and dedicate that time unto the Lord. That's a fast. Did you know that? It can be that simple. God, I'm so serious about what's going on that I'm going to deny myself this thing. And God, I'm going to dedicate that time unto you. The third thing that we understand this morning is this: fasting so we can be stronger. Fasting so we can be stronger. I do not need to get into the incredible health benefits of fasting. That's not the issue today, though it is true. But fasting so we can become spiritually stronger. Again, listen to how applicable this is to our lives and how practical. Which one of us would not want to be spiritually stronger? Every one of us would want to be spiritually stronger. You say, well, how can fasting have anything to do with that? I don't understand it, but I just know it's true. It's an amazing thing. It's almost as though when you fast that the flesh begins to panic. And it's a cool thing because when you're fasting, your flesh will say, come on, nobody's watching. Let's eat something. Now, if any of you are in psychology classes right now, you're going to say, he needs a pill. But hear me out. My soul will say to my spirit, as we are body, soul, and spirit, man has been created as a trichotomy. Hey, let's eat something. I just got a message from my stomach. And my stomach's telling me it's time to eat. Here's the funny thing. God, I'm going to fast unto you. The moment you say that, you know what you're going to realize? You're hungry. You can eat and then dedicate yourself to God. And the first thought in your head, once you dedicate yourself to God in this, I'm hungry. And then you're thinking, I'm fasting. Oh, brother. And it is so fun, truly, because you will experience this war between your flesh and your spirit, and the soul, that is your mind, gets stuck in between. And this flesh will say, man, let's eat. And the soul will say, yeah, what do you want to eat? And your soul will gang up with your body and say, hey, we want something to eat. And your spirit will say, you know what? You know what? We've dedicated ourselves unto God. We're not going to eat. And there's a battle in your head. Temptation, war. And it's really quite fun because as you gain victory in this area and as you enter into your fast, you begin to see your flesh give up, starts waving a white flag. I guess I'm not going to get anything. And as you stay focused, you know what? Something happens. There is a stripping of the flesh concentration. And you begin to be more in tune with God, and you begin to get strengthened by God. And we know this is true. Listen, supernaturally, Moses fasted for 40 days on top of the mountain with God. Now, I don't recommend anybody fasting for 40 days. It was a divine fast. Moses got in the presence of God and forgot about food. Plus, I don't think there's much up on the mountain anyway. But that was not his mind. Jesus was in the wilderness of Judea fasting for how long? 40 days. And then after the fast, they were strengthened. Elijah, he fasted. And then God strengthened him with food. Why? Because the spirit was strengthened during the fast. And then, of course, after the fast, the body needed to be strengthened. So you guys understand that? I mean, we all know, right? Amen, hallelujah. Food's not a sin, right? It's a blessing from God. But there comes a time when God intensifies and calls you and I to enter into a fast. And I'm going to get to that about how and why we should fast under what conditions. But it will make us stronger. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, Paul says, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And when you're fasting, amazing, bizarre strengthening comes upon you. In fact, it would be probably summed up like this. When we are physically weakened, we are spiritually strengthened. It's an important rule to keep in mind. Number four on this, fasting so we can become wiser. Wiser. When we fast, we begin to strip away our perceptions. We depart from, say, conventional or earthly wisdom. And this is so important, people. Listen. You can talk to a Christian brother. Now, don't take me wrong on this. This is a spirit-filled, wonderful Christian brother that you know. You can talk to him and he can give you counsel. He can even give you chapter verse of the Bible regarding this counsel. That's wonderful. You can talk to another brother or sister, spirit-filled, giving you counsel, chapter verse from the Bible. And that's a wonderful thing. But then you can go to God in fast and in prayer, and God will not take either one of those bits of counsel. God will speak to you specifically the chapter, verse, which is the answer for your situation. And this is where we fail. As Christians, we blow this miserably. You know why? Because we don't want to practice this discipline. And so we say, hey, Bob, what should I do? Well, you know, James 1:5 says, and it's a great verse. It's just not the one God wants for you. You may say, hey, Betty, what should I do? And she might say, you know what? 1 Chronicles 9:3 says, oh. And you, listen, with great intentions, you can go away thinking, well, I need to apply these two verses. I got my answer. And then you wonder why nothing happened or it didn't work or you're still confused. This is where we fail as a church. God wanted to speak to you and I personally. He wanted to teach us more about fasting and hearing from him. And he had a verse. He had a chapter that was tailor-made, engineered by the Spirit for our life, for my life, for your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Should I Fast? It's a scriptural look at the purposes of temporary abstinence from eating and how it plays a big part in the life of the believer. Why should I fast? It's part of Pastor Jack's collection of topical lessons simply called Why Should I?, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Well, it's Friday, and that means it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack is a way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. Send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Now, sometimes we get Pastor Jack to come into the studio and sit down with us, but he also answers questions from the pulpit, like today's question regarding courtship. Here's the question. Pastor Jack, as a young man, I have a question regarding dating. I already understand that premarital sex is unacceptable in the sight of God. What is the line to be crossed that is, quote, too far? What is natural? Some even say that there should be no kissing until marriage. Do you agree with that standard?
Wow. Okay, what? How much time do I have for this one? Seriously. Okay, first of all, you're going to hate me for this. Listen up, everybody. How many of you are not married? Raise your hands. You're not married? Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay, check this out. Those of you who raised your hands, listen to this. Go and research the art or the act of dating. It's pretty bizarre. Dating is not a Christian concept. Dating is not a Christian worldview. Did you know that? Dating is basically the sampling of people, trying to find the right one.
Now watch this. You're going to hate me for this. But those who have tried this or those who have done this are way better off. Number one thing about dating is you need to find out if that's what God wants you to do. Why? Because I believe that when you love God and you're pursuing the Lord and putting Him first and you're serving the Lord, underline that. When you're serving God, young woman, young man, when you're serving the Lord, I believe God will bring you, show you, expose to you the person that is your mate for life. Why? Because you're putting God first, Matthew 6:33, and He will add to you all those things that you need. What's the flip side? Go and sample people until you find the right one. How do you know? How do you know you found the right one? Because by the time you've sampled people, your heart has been broken, stomped on, bruised and hurt, and then you got to reel it back in. And the next time you meet somebody, you let out the line a little bit, but now there's a big concrete wall around your heart. And you eventually get into a pattern of lifestyle that you'll never give your heart away again because of hurt. And so then you get married, and you never quite give your heart away to that person because you're protecting yourself. Self-protection is a powerful thing. Okay, so that's one thing. Kissing, some people say kissing. Let me tell you something. How many of you are guys? Raise your hands. If there were no girls in this room right now, every guy would say kissing's too far. Hey, I'm telling you the truth. I've been married 33 years. I can say this. You guys, you young guys are going, shh, keep it on the low down, Pastor. Don't say that. There is not a red-blooded man born that can handle kissing. And all the women said, you can't handle it. Tragically, we should be able to handle it, but we don't, because you know what? We just absolutely go off the rails, and here's the reason why. Solomon said, listen, all you young people, single people, listen up. Solomon said this, do not awaken love until it pleases. The translation is this, do not allow an erotic and physical atmosphere to take place until it is the right time, until it's in the bonds, as Song of Solomon puts it, where they've been brought together for life forever. Solomon said that. Who did he say that about? His girl. In the answer of the Christian context, ladies, listen. I will spare you a lifetime of grief if you just listen to this. If you're dating a Christian guy who cannot keep his hands off you, okay, then he doesn't respect you. He may say he does. He can't control himself. He doesn't have the self-control. So the Lord, the relationship with the Lord is a little bit skewed. When the Bible reveals that a Christian woman should be able to be free, excited, playful, silly, goofy, knowing that her fiancé or her boyfriend is such a rock with Jesus that he turns and says to her, now, cutie, look, we just got a little too close there. I could see your eyes. I could feel the heartbeat. I see where you're going with this. Sweetie, listen, when we get married, we'll only come up for air. Until then, can you imagine if a young Christian man said, until that time, listen, it's time for you to go home now. I'm serious. It's time for you to just go take a break. You know, you imagine him telling her, you go home and take a cold shower. I am protecting you. I am going to be, and I am your man at this stage of our relationship. I may be your man forevermore. I'm telling you right now, I'm watching over your emotions, your passions, your excitement, and I will protect your virginity and your sexuality. But let me tell you, when it's the right time, then we will go for it. That's a Christian man. If your Christian man cannot do that, then you have half of a Christian man.
All right, that's Pastor Jack from the pulpit regarding the scriptural worldview on how far is going too far when dating. Ask Pastor Jack. You can email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Now, you may just hear the answer from the pulpit. Wouldn't that be great? And you might even hear it when we get him here in the studio. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.